Hey everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about a series of blog posts I've been doing.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
With my business partner, Marie. Around user testing and the value of it. And it was a hard one for us to share. And we'll talk about why. But Steli, you wanted to talk about it, so I'd love to get your take as always, because apparently you're reading my crap. So.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you're killing it with product habits. Again, for people that are listening, I'm pretty sure that people that listen to the Startup Chat are already subscribed to Product Habits. But for those that are new that haven't, go to producthabits.com and subscribe. I've been on your email list for a long time now, and the content you're sharing right now is the best content you've ever shared, in my opinion. Really.
Wow, thank you.
It is killer. It is really, really fucking good. The emails that you send are really good, and I know that you and Mary, you've kind of gone from a model of like considering kind of like having a content team that writes these emails to getting back to the two of you writing these emails and spending a lot of time back and forth until you get it right. And it really fucking shows. It's unfortunate, but there's no shortcut to excellence and to greatness. You have to put in the work. So I love the new format right now, the new kind of thing that you guys do where you do these research studies on other companies, right? On their products, on the user onboarding, on like you do really deep dives, and then you share the deep dives and the learnings that you have with brands that are pretty popular, and teach them even how they could do things better. And so I love that content. It's incredibly insightful. And I wanted to pick the last one you did on Grammarly and share some of the insights you learned there. And then for people that want to learn more, they can just go to producthabits.com and read these user research or product research studies in much more depth and detail. But let's talk a little bit about kind of user onboarding and what you've learned through doing these deep dives so far. What are some of the key learnings that you guys took out of it as takeaways?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple things. One, for those of you that don't know what user testing is, it's the idea that you can get videos of people walking through an experience, like a product experience, a website, a prototype, an app, and talk about their experience. So the key to it, and like Steli said, there'll be content on producthabits.com. You should subscribe to the newsletter too, because we share a lot of stuff privately in the emails that we don't share on the blog. But overall, what user testing is this ability for you to see how people react to an experience. That's the way I like to describe it. And it doesn't have to be something you created. It can be someone else's. So what we did is we user tested Grammarly, Mixmax, and also Duolingo. And we've done very thorough write-ups about it. What we do is we watch 5 videos. We ask a bunch of specific questions to the people as they're going through the experience. And we learn a whole shitload of stuff about how people feel about the experience. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole like, oh, is 5 people enough and all that? Because just trust me, it's more than enough, especially if you read the write-up and you'll learn right now about the learning. So Grammarly is a really popular product and it's a Chrome extension. And what it does is it helps you with your writing. It's popular in the sense of it's had 10 million downloads of the Chrome extension and it has almost 7 million active users, daily active, I believe. So they built a brilliant product and a brilliant business. They raised money after being self-funded for a long time. So they have another near and dear place in my heart and I'm sure Steli's. And so we did these 5 user tests. So basically it was a user test set of sessions and we did 5 people walking through these, through the onboarding experience. And we learned a shitload about their onboarding.
And let me quickly highlight this. You're paying for this, right?
Yeah, we're paying for this. So each session costs, I think, like $25 to $50. I don't remember anymore. We're on an enterprise account.
And let me highlight this again real quick because people are used and know the concept of buying user research for their own product, their website, their own shit. What nobody does, except you as far as I know, is go to other people's products and go, I'm going to pay a bunch of stuff to do user research on their product so I learn from what they're doing really brilliantly and what they're not doing so well, so I can learn from all these things for my stuff or for other things. Like, you're the only one that does this with other people's products, as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I know.
Yeah, it's not a popular thing, and I think it's absurd. It's like, we're building a Chrome extension coming very soon, and we need to build an onboarding for it. Why would we not just, most people just go copy what other people do as best practice, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, go copy them. That's better than making it up yourself, right? But what's even better is understanding what works and doesn't work for other companies that are doing it supposedly well. Like, think about it. We already know these companies that I mentioned have some amount of traction, right? What we don't know is what's working well and not working well for them. And so the user testing allows you to do that. And these products, they're not even competitive to what we're building. They're just what I would call what we believe today are best-in-class experiences for Chrome extension onboarding, or in Duolingo's case, a lot of people rave about their product. So I wanted to understand, like, okay, what does that really mean? How can we learn from it? And like, I was blown away. Marie and I were blown away by how much we could learn from it. So in Grammarly's case, I'm just going to go off a little bit. When you go through the experience, one of the things that got me really, really excited about one of the learnings was this. On the homepage, if you scroll down a little bit, you get this brilliant demo. It's like this demo where it's like, here's a spell checker that you're used to, and here's Grammarly and what it can do for you. And it's like night and day. All you have to do is go to grammarly.com and scroll down a little bit, and you'll see this brilliant demo. And what we learned from the user testing is that people love that demo. And it wasn't a video, it wasn't a GIF, it was a little more like different. And it really caught your eye, and you're like, oh, the spell checkers don't catch any of these mistakes, but Grammarly catches like these 50 mistakes in this 2-paragraph piece of writing that I wouldn't have caught if I used anything else. So people were super highly motivated after seeing that to sign up for the product. So then they start signing up for the product, and they have this thing called personalized Grammarly. It asks you 2 questions, which is, what do you want to use Grammarly for? What are you writing for, is actually what it is. And what do you consider your writing level? And after you put that information in, which was very straightforward for people, there's a next screen that still says personalized Grammarly, and it tells you this information. That information people thought was actually personalized. The truth is, there's only like 9 combinations you can get, because there's 3 options for the 2 things they ask you before that. And you get these like 9 different options, but everybody only saw one. And it honestly, like, I can be a little more colorful on this podcast, so I will be. It felt like people hated it because they were confused and they didn't know what it meant. They thought it was analyzing their data because they had already installed the Chrome extension by then. And they were like, oh, it's analyzing my usage. It's like, actually, no, they're just doing some very basic things and calling it personalization, but it's almost like people didn't care about it. And it was almost useless for the experience. But I know from a Grammarly standpoint, it probably helps them highly personalize the things they do for people, the emails they send them and things like that. So I'm almost like, why don't you tell people that? Why don't you tell people, and I know I'm going to solution, but why don't you tell people why you're asking for the personalization? Honestly, they never tell people why they're asking for it and what it's going to do for them. Instead, they try to tell you, oh, this is probably where you're at because you chose these 2 options.
Yep. You know, I was going through the Grammarly onboarding as you were speaking, so this is a cool experience for me.
Neat.
So I was like, I selected your work and whatever the middle level of writer, and then I'm on the personalized Grammarly thing, which shows me now some stats and some stuff on how they can help me. And you're so right. At the first screen, I was like, oh, this is neat. You know, I'm writing for work, and yeah, I'm not like a pro writer, but not a beginner either, somewhere in the middle. Cool. And then the second screen, I was looking, and I was like, all right, this is useless, whatever. Like, I didn't think that this was based on my writing. I didn't think they're that sophisticated to go and be able to fetch my writing from the past. But I was like, I don't know, 3.8 mistakes per words typically for a person. Like, I mean, all this is meaningless to me. You know, I was just like, I was very tempted to just keep click, continue to save your settings, and you know, move on with life. So that's so interesting to hear you describe it as I was going through the different steps myself.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. See, so you get the sentiment, and you're like, crap. Like, they're world class at this. They have a ton of active users. but they have a lot of missed opportunity still, you know? And I know I've met some of the people on the team there. These are some of the, I have a high level of respect for the team at this company. And like, they're still missing these things because probably they're not doing this, to be honest with you. And again, not a criticism. It just goes to your point that like, people don't do this. So, you know, I would say that I have a ton more to share, but I've shared it on product habits. If you have another question, let's go for it. But like, people should just be doing user testing. I convinced the usertesting.com folks to give me a coupon code so you can get some savings. They give you, I think, 3 credits for free. And it's producthabits17 is the code. So if you've never done usertesting.com, go to usertesting.com, use that code. They're not paying me for this. I just want everyone to build better products.
Nice. You know? Nice. I love it. All right. So let's wrap this episode up with one tip. And then for people that want to know even much more, they can go to Product Habits and read the 3 kind of user testing studies you've published. But for people that are like, all right, I want to do user testing for my product or for my competitor's product, but I'm overwhelmed thinking like, how should I go about this? I mean, you mentioned 5 interviews is enough. Is there any other like tip of what to do or not to do to be able to get started easily and do this without, you know, overthinking it and overcomplicating it?
Just do it. Like, I have instructions. Read my instructions and go do it. And even if you don't read my instructions, just literally go in there, set up a test, and ask people, like, what do you hate the most or what confuses you the most? And make sure you tell them, please tell us what confuses you the most about this experience. You will not hurt our feelings. In fact, we want to know what you hate the most. We want to know what confuses you the most because we're looking to learn from you. You know, and if you just tell them that, in terms of the instructions, that's all you really need to do. If you want one tip, it's really about you're trying to figure out what people really hate. You're trying to figure out what confuses them. And they tend to not tell you unless you ask them very specifically.
I love it. All right. That's it for this episode. Everybody, will hear you very, very soon.
Bye-bye.